You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody ready? Got your Bibles? Praise the Lord. Got a good one for you tonight. Just something that's stirring in me. I've just been meditating on today and all day. And just, you know, you get stuff in you, just can't get it out of you. In fact, at the last minute, I was writing some stuff down here tonight, even before I came out here tonight. And, you know, a lot of times I'll have something I think I'm going to preach, and then I'll get here, and God just changed it. I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, thank God for spontaneity. Thank God for the move of the Spirit. I don't regulate the sermons. God does. He should. I don't pick the sermons. He does. Now, obviously, I have a track I run on, and I pray about it, and I have a piece or a leading or an unction in a certain area. And if he chooses to change that at the last minute, this is his deal. You are his sheep, not mine. I'm a pastor, an under-pastor, under-shepherd, but Jesus is the chief shepherd.
That's right.
Amen? And that's true with all of us. You know, all of our plans, you know, we do what we think's right, we do what we feel's right, we do what we believe's right. But if God were to intervene and move you in another direction, hey, follow God. He knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Thank God. Hallelujah. First Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4. That is so good. Let's just turn to First Chronicles. Yeah, chapter 4. That's right. I got it right. Now, you'll be familiar with some of this. But I just the way it's going to come together here is what I want to emphasize here. I want to bring a point out of this that I think will bless you and help you today or tonight. Notice what it says in the 9th verse. Everybody ready? You got your Bibles? It says, "And now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain." That's what the name means. It will bring pain. He will bring pain or cause pain. That's what Jabez means. But notice it says he was more honorable than his brothers. And then we know why. Next verse says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Now, you know, what's fascinating about that is that he was already labeled and named by his mama. And God bless her for whatever reason. She was going through the pain that she was going through. No reflection on her. But, you know, she named him Jabez, which means you will cause pain. And that's who he was. That was his name. That's what his mama said about him. That's what his mama said. Do you have to accept that? See, that's the question. Does the Bible teach that you just are who you are and there's nothing you can do about that? You know, I've said this just recently, and it's really starting to come alive to me. You know, people spend their whole life trying to find out who they are, and yet life's not about finding out who you are. Life is about becoming what you should be. Yeah. You know, well, who am I? Well, who do you want to be? That's the question. Not even who you are right now or what's been said about you all your life or what others have said about you or what you've been named. That's not what God's interest. God doesn't even care about that. What God cares is about who you want to become. Because you can become anything you want to be. You can become what God wants you to be. You can turn the whole thing around, and you don't have to be what you've been named.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I'm not talking about just your given name. I'm talking about what people say about you, what you say about yourself, what you thought about yourself. Oh, I am what I am, and that's just the way it is, you know. And I am this, and I am that, and, you know, that's just the way I am. Well, no, it's not. It's not the way it has to be. If we learn anything from this little short past two verses here, Jabez, who back then, boy, when they named children, it meant something. Not like it is today. Back then, they named them, and I tell you, they were almost prophesying. In many cases, they were prophesying when they put a name on them. But that was their destiny. That's what they were destined to do, born to do. And he was named, "I will cause pain." But you know what? He didn't believe that was God's will. Even though his own mama was calling him that. And I'm not blasting her. I just, you know, I want us to understand here that it doesn't matter who names you. It doesn't matter what others say about you.
Yes.
You can change all that.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to find out is what God calls us. In this case, now he didn't have the New Testament. We have some things in the New Testament God says about us distinctly, directly, and with no question about it. He calls us certain things. He says we are certain things. That's God's name on us. That's what God calls us. God always has a destiny for you, and then there's the other destiny, the one you were raised up believing, the one you think that you were born to do. But then there's God's destiny. There's that thing you call yourself, and then there's what God calls you. In Jabez's case, and this is a very low level of change in your destiny, is he asked God to help him be something he was not. Are you with me? Now, higher level would be that we're born again and finding out what we really are. We are a blessing. We are saved. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. Are you with me?
Amen.
May not realize it, didn't know that in the natural, but that's what God says. And so we need to ask ourselves this question, who's going to name us? Whose name are we going to carry? We're going to carry the name the world's given us? I'm not talking about just your given name. I'm talking about what we've been saying, what the world's been saying, or what reasonable people would say, or wisdom of the world would say, or the scientists would say, the doctors would say. And God bless all those people. We're not against people, but is that who we are? Are we who God says we are? Man. I want to fulfill my destiny. Amen. I want to fulfill the name God has placed upon me. God places a lot of importance on what you call yourself, how you see yourself. And even if you've been called the wrong thing, even under the old covenant, even this little unknown person here named Jabez that we don't hear anything about, right here in these two verses, Jabez was more honorable. Listen, it is honorable to rise out of pain. It's honorable to rise out of poverty. It's honorable to rise out of sickness and disease. It's honorable to rise out of hurting others. It's honorable to change your destiny. It's not honorable to acquiesce, to accept, to lay down, to just give up. I read something in a book. I thought it was neat the way he said it, and he was talking about us as Christians. Don't let the world tame us. Don't let circumstances tame you, contain you, hold you back. Because sometimes that's what we've done. We've let the world just tame us. Because see, we're wild to the world. What we believe as Christians is wild to the world. And we need to calm down, let the world tame us and put their leash on us and chain us and put us down to that stake and hold us back. Are you with me? Keep us in this pen. Don't you let that happen. No, don't you let that happen. You dream and dream big.
That's right.
You believe and you believe big.
Absolutely.
You let God make you what He wants you to be. Don't you just settle down and be tamed and get the chain on your leg and the stake in the ground. Jabez was more honorable. He didn't accept what everybody was saying. He didn't accept what his mama said. He didn't accept what his name said. And he said, Lord, he called on God, oh, that you would bless me indeed. It wasn't God's will for him to be that way. It wasn't God's will for him to cause pain. It's not God's will for you to be depressed. It's not God's will you be poor all your life. It's not God's will for you to do nothing for Jesus before you die. Lord, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. That's prosperity, praise God, and my coast, and that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil. You don't have to accept all the evil that comes down the, you know, down the river. Don't float down the river like a dead log. Swim upstream like a live fish. That you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. You can be a blessing instead of a curse. So God granted him what he requested. Hallelujah. Why would he do that? Because that's God's will. Because all that other wasn't his will. And he granted Jabez's request because Jabez was talking God kind of talk. Mm-hmm. Blessing. Praise God. Prosperity. You know, I wrote a little poem on this. I just put it to rhyme the prayer of Jabez in a poem. Oh Lord, I pray that you would bless all things that I attempt to do and cause my vision to be no less than all the dreams that come from you. I pray, Lord, for your mighty hand to always with me ever be. Keep me from evil in this land so grief would never come to me. Well, that should be our prayer. Amen? I don't know what's going on. Don't know what's going on with the economy. Don't know what's going on over in Egypt. Oh, come on, man. There's stuff going all around the world. Always has been and always will be. Before Jesus comes back, the Bible says there'll be wars and rumors of war. Signs in the heavens and signs beneath. And when you see these things come upon, you lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. I don't know what's going on with the economy. I mean, I'm not an economist, but I do know that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes. I am not the cursed. I am the blessed.
That's right. That's right.
I am not the lost. I am the saved. You know, we talked last week on the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And that's us. You know, you got to get the right picture of yourself. We're not talking about raising your self-esteem. We're not talking about just getting more positive. We're not talking about having a better attitude. All that's important. Yes, I understand that. But we're talking about seeing yourself the way God sees you, saying about yourself what God says about you, raising your attitude and your perception to the point of God's Word and His promises based on His promises. We're not talking about mind over matter. We're not talking about just say it enough to make it happen. We're talking about finding out what God says and agreeing with it. The power is not in us per se in and of ourselves. The power is in Him and in His Word. And of course, that's contingent on whether we agree with it or not. That's where our confession comes and our faith comes in. But you know, this is not just positive attitude. This is not just mind over matter. This is not some Eastern philosophy, mind science cult. This is not Christian science. This is Christian sense. We need to make that distinction, because a lot of people say, well, if you just think more positive and you just be more positive, and you know, you'll gravitate toward more positive things. And there's some truth in that. I understand that. But that's not what we're preaching. That's not the bag of goods we're selling. We're ministers of the gospel, and what we're telling you is that God is bigger than your problem, and God can overcome the sickness and disease, and God can overcome the depression, and God can make you stand and make you shout and make you sing. God can do that. If you'll trust Him, you put your eyes on Him, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Are you with me? So we're talking about the power of God. Jabez had it right. He knew who to run to. He said, oh God, that you would bless me. So that's the question. We all got ideals about ourselves, you know. People have ideals about us. We've been told things all of our life. I hope it's good. It's not always good. And this is not to blame anybody. It's not to blame your mama, blame your daddy. You know, I know you think you were slapped when you were young. Now what's wrong with you? You probably need to be slapped more than you were. But whatever the case may be, you are who you are now. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to go forward? How are we going to do that? How are we going to go forward? Well, we're going to have to start seeing ourselves differently. We're going to have to start saying what God says about us. I mean, what name do you place on yourself? Loser? You do something wrong, do you say that? I'm such a loser. No, you're not a loser. Such an idiot. No, you're not. Don't quit saying that. I'm such a failure. No, don't quit that. Stop that. Failure is an event, not a person. You failed, I failed, we all failed. That's not who I am. I'm not a failure.
Right.
I'm child of God.
That's right. Amen.
I'm more than conqueror. I'm world overcomer. I leap buildings at a single bound. I'm telling you, I'm faster than a speeder and bullet. I'm Superman in Christ. Amen? So what you see here is someone got a bad name. And he decided not to accept it. Maybe you've had a bad name. I don't know. You need to decide that you're not going to accept it. Who named you? What are others saying or naming you? And do you believe that? And ultimately, what does God say about you? What does God call you? See, you have to consider things like... And this is paramount. This is important now. What I'm telling you here is it's not just an idea or a thought that I come up with. It's all through the Bible. God had to change Abram's name to Abraham if he was ever going to get that miracle. In fact, we know this. And he was 100 years old, 99 years old, and God visited him. And this is where he really got in faith. And God told him, he says, your name is no longer Abram, but Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. At this point, he only had one son, which was Ishmael, and that was by Hagar, you know, a handmaiden of his wife Sarah. And God made a promise to him 25 years later, earlier, when he was 75 years old, that he was going to bless him, and in him all nations of the earth would be blessed, in the 12th chapter of Genesis. Well, now we're way past that. He's already got in the flesh and had an Ishmael, and he's not believing God. We often say this. You often hear ministers say, well, he believed God for 25 years. No, I would disagree with that. He was not believing God, and God had to jerk the slack out of his chain. Think about it. And get him in faith. And the question is, how did he do that? He did that by naming him something else. Abraham had to start seeing himself the way God saw him. And he wasn't doing a good job of it. He was actually disagreeing with God and arguing with God after Ishmael was born, saying, Lord, bless Ishmael. God says, well, I'll bless him, but that's not the son of the promise. And Abraham's problem was the name he was carrying. And along with that, all the baggage, you know, the whole picture of who I am. He'd found out who he was. He was just old Abraham. He had Ishmael, and he was 99, and that's just the way it was. And he had found out who he was. But see, he still hadn't found out who he was supposed to be until God changed his name. Romans 4, turn there. This is interesting because Romans 4 tells us about this. See, life's not about just finding out who you are. Life is about becoming who God wants you to be. You said, well, when's it too late to become what God wants you to be? When you take your last breath. But until then, you can always change. Till you take your last breath, whenever that is, whether it's 100 years old, if you're 90, you can still change. Well, I'm too old now. Oh, you're still alive, you're still breathing. Put a mirror up in front of your face. See if it fogs up. If it still fogs up when you put it to your... Hey, you're still alive. You can still get a hold of this. Notice what it says in Romans. Now, think about this principle, because this is not something that's just, every once in a while. God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. God changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means he shall rule with God after he wrestled with God all night. His name was Jacob. He was the supplanter. He was the deceiver. That's who he was. And Jacob was not a young man when this took place. He was 90, in his 90s, when he wrestled with God. He was 77 when he went up to Paran and got his first wife 7 years later, Leah. Worked 7 more years for his next wife, Rachel, who he worked the first 7 for because the deceiver got deceived by Laban, his father-in-law. Then he worked 6 more years and wound up working 20 years up there. So he was a young man. Are you with me? He was a young man. He was about 97 or so when he fled Paran, the north, and came down south into the land of Canaan. And he had an experience with God and wrestled with God at Jabbok. He was about 97 years old. And God changed his name. There's still hope for you. Are you with me? He wrestled with God and prevailed. And the Bible says he changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Wow. Man, that's an awesome story. That is a wild story. Because he prevailed with God. He shall rule with God. Boy, hallelujah. And that took place late in life. And of course, we know the 12 tribes came out of Jacob, who became Israel. And we get the word Israel from that, from a name change. Abraham is our father. That's a name change. His first name was Abram. God changed it to Abraham. But notice what it says here in the Romans 4 chapter. I know I'll throw a lot out there, but it's food for thought. Hallelujah. Romans 4, which gives us the detail of it. And we quote the scripture often. The 17th verse says, "For as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, or non-existent things as if they existed." In this case, father of many nations, a non-existent thing. He called him that, and he called for it, or he summoned. One translation says, "Who summons non-existent things exist as if they exist." Because that's what you're doing when you're prophesying and confessing and calling. You're summoning it out of the unseen into the seen, out of the spiritual into the natural, out of the non-existent to the existent. See, let's don't get it turned around. He didn't say he calls those things that be as though they were not. See, that's kind of like Christian Science. They'll say, "I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. I don't have financial problems. I don't feel pain, I don't feel pain." Well, that's not what the Bible says. You don't call things that are as if they're not. You call things that are not as if they were. So we'll turn around and we'll say, as Christians, as believers in the Bible, not that I'm not sick or I don't have pain or I don't have financial problems, but I am healed. See, I'm calling for what's not as though it is. I am blessed and can't be cursed. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I am prosperous. I'm calling for what's not as though it is. It's not about denial. Oh, I know I've done this and I've done that and I've been called that and called this, but I understand all that. But see, that may be who I am, but that's not who I'm going to be. I'm calling for what is not as though it is. God did it every time He changed somebody's name. He called Israel, "He shall rule with God." Jacob, Israel, "He shall rule with God." He called Abraham, "Father of many nations," before he was. He called for it. I think it's significant that he didn't let anybody name his son Jesus. He sent the angels to tell them what to call him. Yeah. Are you with me? Jesus, which means Savior. It means deliverer. Same Hebrew word, Joshua, deliverer. "They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Wow. Y'all catching this?
Yes.
Okay. Notice what he goes on to say here. "As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations." God said, "I have made you a father of many nations." So how do you make him a father of many nations? He first named him that, see? And then got him to call himself that. "In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed," keep hope alive, "so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be." Now see, you will become what you believe, no question. And if you believe what's been said about you all your life, and if you believe you are all the things that you've done all your life, and there's no change and there's no future, then you will become what you believe. You know, Matthew, the 9th chapter, actually it's the 29th verse of the 9th chapter, where the two blind men came to Jesus and they cried out to him that, "God, you know, heal me," and so on. "Well, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the disciples tried to quiet him down. The Bible says they cried out all the more, even louder. Finally, Jesus said, "Well, let them come." So they came up to him. He says, "What do you want me to do?" And they said, "Well, that we might receive our sight." And he says, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." In the Message translation, the 29th verse of Matthew, it says, "Become what you believe." Yeah. I believe King James says, "Be it unto thee according as thou hast believed." But see, we are becoming what we believe. So what are we saying about ourselves? What name are we carrying? I'm going to carry the name God gave me. I don't know about all the other names, you know, that I'm carried and all the things I've said about myself and others have said, but my future is determined by what I believe. And I believe what God says. And I want to become what I believe. And that's what Abraham did. It says, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become." So all these things that God promises, you won't become them unless you believe. And if you're honorable like Jabez, you will. See, Jabez was more honorable, and he cried out to God for something different, for God's will. what God wanted. Hallelujah. This is a whole lot better preaching y'all are shouting and amen, and I'm telling you. I mean, what name are we carrying here? You know, what name? How do we see ourselves? What do we call ourselves? What do we say about ourselves? And does it really matter? Well, it mattered so much God actually changed people's names. He changed Abram to Abraham. He changed Jacob to Israel. Jabez just flat out denied, you know, all that his name implied. He said, man, I'm just not, that's not going to be me. That is not going to be me. God bless me. I don't want to be causing pain. Enlarge my coast. Hallelujah. And he did. Praise God. So it says here, who contrary to hope believed in hope, and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. In other words, you'll become what is spoken, or you become what is written, if you will believe. Against hope, believe in hope. Believe what God calls you. Believe God's name he put on you. He's called you his child. He's called you a new creature. He's called you more than a conqueror. Are you with me? He's called you blessed and not cursed. He's called you saved. That's what he's called you. Now, as you believe that and you call yourself that, then you'll become that. Hallelujah. We are blessed. Hallelujah. We got a future. We got a destiny. We got a hope. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. Hallelujah. So we see here with Abraham, the same principle. It says he did not waver at the promise. Well, he backs up 19th verse. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Don't pay any attention to the way it looks, what you feel like, what the, you know, circumstances are. Did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. New King James says strengthened in faith. I love that. The more you give glory to God, the stronger your faith is. Start praising Him. Start thanking Him. Hallelujah. Giving glory to God and having been fully convinced or persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. God can do this if we'll give ourselves over to Him. Now, we're not going to do it by ourselves. We're doing it with His power and His strength. You know, it's kind of like it takes the sun to get a suntan, but you got to get out there in it. Yeah. You didn't tan yourself. Are you with me? The sun did it, but you had to get out there in it. And so you can't make yourself anything. God can, but you've got to get under the influence of the sun. You've got to expose yourself to what God is doing. And you do that by faith. You get out there and you believe. Turn over to John 1. This is a good one. I love this. John, first chapter. You know, I quoted in Matthew 9:29. Is that what it says? Is it 29? Is that right?
Yeah.
9:29. Become what you believe. The Message translation says, become what you believe. Become what you believe. Well, that's what we do. We become what we believe. Don't you buy the lie now that you can't make it, that you're nobody, that you don't count, that you're not going to go over, you're not going to get your bills paid, you're not going to get healed, you're not going to be anything for God, never do anything for God. Don't buy that lie. That's not who you are. Let's believe God and let's become what we believe. Let's let God put His name on us. Let's let God tell us who we are. Amen?
Yeah,
this is fascinating here. Just a real simple little incident. Jesus was collecting His disciples one by one. You know, Jesus was an eternal optimist. I love Jesus. I don't want to say method because it makes it sound like it, you know, if you just follow the method. He had the anointing of God on Him. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. And so whatever He did with authority and did with power. So you can't take God out of the equation and just follow the example and not know Him and not trust Him. Are you with me? But having said that, being God, being who He is, He did things certain ways. He would say things about people. He would make declarations about people and about things and about situations positively. He was the eternal optimist. You know, He'd just walk up to people and say, be healed. a guy be complaining about not getting into the water. And he said, take up your bed and walk. Somebody come through the roof. He says, your sins be forgiven you. I mean, he was declaring things very positively. People that were considered to be lowlifes that nobody really liked even. Mary Magdalene cast out seven devils and she began to follow him. Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, you know, and the Pharisees would say things about Jesus like he eats with publicans and sinners. Oh my God. All they saw was who those people were. They did not see what they could be. Are you with me? Now Jesus, who knows everything about everybody. I heard you got so-and-so and go over to your church. Maybe there's some things you don't know about them. Oh, was that prevent them from being who God wants them to be? We think because we know something about somebody, we have no faith in them ever changing. Let me tell you something. Jesus knows everything about everybody. And knowing everything about everybody, he still believes they can be what God wants them to be. Thank God. Thank God he sees us differently. Thank God for his optimism. Thank God he would see lowly fishermen and he would see even old Peter had an anger problem, you know, and he saw him as a leader. Thank God he saw Zacchaeus up there. Come on down, we're going to eat in your house today, Zacchaeus. And he goes and eats in his house and Zacchaeus starts repenting in front of him and starts saying he's going to give money back to people he's taken from. His life has changed. Because Jesus saw something different in him. Jesus saw what he could be. Does he not know that person? Oh, he knew him better than anybody. Well, if he knew that woman that was putting oil on his feet, if he knew who she was, they sense things like that. See, their take was real simple. The Pharisees' take and the Sadducees' religion's take was real simple. These people who know not the law, they are cursed. That's what they said. They said that about the disciples. They said that about the people Jesus hung around. These people who know not the law. They looked down on them. They saw nothing but who they were. They saw no way for them to ever change or come out of the state that they were in. They had no faith for them in the future. See, a doctor can diagnose you. A mechanic can diagnose you. But God comes along and He didn't just tell you what's wrong with you. He tells you how you get out of what you're in. He gives you a future and a hope. He doesn't just condemn and point and say this is that and this is that and that's wrong and this is wrong and you dirty dog. No, he says, hey, come on. Follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men.
Yeah, that's good.
And they did. One right after the other. They followed him. Jesus brought hope. See, he brought hope. He gave everybody a different name, really, is what it boiled down to. Literally, he did that with Peter. In fact, Peter's name originally here was Simon. Simon, we call him Simon Peter. But here in this encounter, notice this in the first chapter of John. Y'all with me? Okay. First chapter of John, it says, one of the two who heard John, 40th verse, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew went and got his brother. Good thing to do when we find out about Jesus. Go tell somebody, amen. It says, 41st verse, and he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ, 42nd verse. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone or a rock. He changed his name right then when he saw him. He'd been unstable. He had an anger issue. Everybody around that old, you know, around the lake knew about Peter. Peter, you know, was a fisherman. He was seemed to be in the front lines all the time, you know. Usually went too far too fast and they had to pull him back. You know. But Jesus saw a leader in him. And he changed his name from Simon to Cephas to Peter, a rock. Called him something different. You know what? He became something different. Jesus' optimism. He would just see people and he would say good things. He'd say, get up. Hey, come on, follow me. Oh, you were this. And see, that's the key. Listen to this closely. King James says, thou art, Simon, thou shalt be. You may know who thou art, but do you know who thou shalt be? You may see yourself only as who you are, but do you see yourself as who you shall be? God does. You may just be Abram, but do you see yourself as Abraham? God does. You may see yourself as Jacob, but do you see yourself as Israel? That's the way God sees you. See, we know who we are in the natural. But do we know who we shall be? Do we know what God is calling us to be? Do we see ourselves the way God's calling us to be? Have we been tamed? Is the chain on our leg and the stake in the ground? Have you got limits on yourself? Have you stopped yourself from going, I'll go this far and no further? Because I am who I am, Popeye the Sailor Man. No. Let me tell you something. I may have found out who I am, but I have also found out who I should be. And really, that's who I am. Who I should be is who I really am. I may be Jabez, but I'm not really Jabez. I may be Jacob, but I'm really Israel. I may be Abram, but I am Abraham. Y'all catch it?
Yep.
I may just be Simon, but no, I'm more than just Simon. I am Cephas, a rock. I'm Peter, rock. And see, that's what we got to get a hold of. What are we calling ourselves? How do we see ourselves? Do we know what we're supposed to be? Well, this is what we are supposed to be. And the only way we're going to be what we're supposed to be is change our name. What do you call yourself? I'm a winner, not a loser. I'm wise beyond my years. I'm not an idiot. I do things right. I don't do everything wrong. Seem like I always mess up. No, I don't. I always do right. Hello. That's what God says. You say, well, I'll just be lying. Well, you calling God a liar? That's what He says. What do you think Abraham felt like? 99 years old, meets a guy and says, what's your name? I'm father of many nations. You got any kids? Nope. Got them coming. I'm sure he got a little persecution from that. Wow. Well, let's change our name. Amen. Let's watch who's naming us. Be cautious who's naming you. And make sure you're letting God name you. And you may have found out who you are, but do you know who you shall be? Do you know who what you're supposed to be, what God wants you to be? That's what we need to be centering in on. You know, I'll say it again, and I've said it during this sermon tonight and before. Life's not about finding out who you are. Life is about becoming who you're supposed to be. Amen? Now, in one sense, yes, finding out who I am in Christ, I understand that. But not finding out who I am in the natural and what I've done. And No. It's about becoming what I'm supposed to be. And we are still becoming. As long as we got breath in our lungs. Amen?